We have an obligation to ensure our military is capable of sustaining this war over the long haul and performing the many tasks that we ask of them. I'm inclined to believe that we need to increase in the permanent size of both the United States Army and the United States Marines.
That is happening right now as we speak. The president is still talking. That is a highlight. We will be talking more with the president after our interview with Rabbi Goldstein. But sustaining the war over the long haul, the long haul. I mean, there is no mistake in that phrase right there. That was very clear. He read it. He means it. The long haul. This is a president that is acting in directly contrary to what the country wants and what the country elected these Democrats into office for. And the tone of what we believe as a people is that this war needs to be reevaluated and these soldiers need to be brought home and they need to deal with it on a political level in Iraq. Now, saying that you're going to commit more military, you're going to bolster the military, how is unclear. What the mission in Iraq is unclear, but that it is undoubtable that he just said the long haul. So he has absolutely no intention of ending this thing, of compromising this thing. It sounds to me that he's going to go do the direct opposite, put more American lives and Iraqi lives into danger on a mission that has no real focus or purpose. And the Democrats are going to do what? What are they going to do? Are they saying anything other than, well, let's see what he has to say? He's starting to say it in bits and pieces. It's unmistakable. I am Mark Maron. I am in for Sam Seder. We are now going to talk to, because it is the Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, there's more, the other things. It's holiday season. It's time. Naz Goldstein is the founding rabbi of the New Shul here in Greenwich Village in New York City. He is the author or editor of 7 books, the latest being Gonzo Judaism, A Bold Path for Renewing an Ancient Faith, which a certain self-hating, God-doubting Jew named Mark Maron was featured prominently in the book. The New York Observer included him in its special Millennium Edition as one of the top 40 people to watch in the 21st century. He's on the phone with us because he apparently couldn't make it across town to sit here in the studio with me. How are you, Rabbi Goldstein?
Happy Hanukkah, my Hebrew brother.
Thanks, man. So are you part of the war on Christmas? What's happening?
Well, I'm not quite sure how to respond to that. There's so many wars going on in the world right now, cultural and political. I'm not quite sure what the hell you're talking about.
So now, do you actually have a shul now? Or you, the last time I talked to you, you were kind of subcontracting a shul?
No. I am the full-time rabbi of a synagogue in West Village, the New Shul, and I'm writing books and lecturing and doing interviews and, you know, trying to spread the Gonzo gospel.
Well, let's talk about the Gonzo gospel, because I apparently am a Gonzo Jew, and I want to know, you know, what it means in terms of how it's going to reinvigorate the Jewish faith for people of my age and even younger mm-hmm. who want nothing to do with it.
Well, you know, that's exactly the demographic I'm trying to reach with this book, and I've been getting great response. And as you know, I interviewed you, and you were featured very prominently and offered me some very colorful quotes, which I appreciate.
You bet.
You know, I think that one of the things I'm trying to do in order to reach out to Jews, and I would say that the themes of Gonzo Judaism apply well beyond normative Judaism. I think mainline Christianity is in very serious trouble also, and a lot of what I have to say in the book I've heard from my Christian counterparts is applicable to them and their communities as well, is we have to be able to meet people where they are. We have to infuse our religious institutions with a nice, healthy dose of adrenaline. And the reason I called the book Gonzo Judaism was obviously a nod to the Gonzo journalism of Hunter Thompson.
Sure.
And basically what I'm saying is we need religion with attitude. We need a religion that is provocative, that is challenging, that is in your face, but that is not rooted in fear and instead rooted in the affirmation of life and joy. And in my opinion, I think that's what people of your age, of my age, you're not that much, you're a couple years older than me, and people in their 20s and 30s, that's what we want. I think from baby boomers down, and the religion we've been handed is one that's rooted in fear of anti-Semitism, fear of assimilation, fear of intermarriage, you know, and a fear-based religion will never speak to people.
So when you say in your face or one with attitude, it seems to me that these attitudes that sort of define mainstream Judaism that I grew up with, and I don't know from how people are brought up or what the norms are in a Christian household, but there was a lot of attitude. It was just some of the attitude was condescending, and some of it was guilt-driven. Some of it was overly Zionist. Some of it was trapped in middle-class luxury. There's definitely a stereotype that needs to be shattered here. And when you say attitude, I'm just wondering, what does that mean for somebody like me? It seems to me that I'm assuming that finding God is part of the Gonzo journey, is it not?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. You know, as someone who believes in God, I hope that the spiritual component will be part of the journey, along with the moral and the cultural and the aesthetic component. But you're absolutely right. I'm talking about a particular kind of attitude, and that attitude is rooted in rebellion. And that's what I think people like you or me or others are going to respond to. And when I think about Judaism as a religion and as the religion from which Christianity and then Islam ultimately sprang from, Judaism at its core is a revolutionary religion. I mean, if you go back to the time of the Bible, when people were worshiping statues made out of sticks and stones, and you say, wait a minute, guys, you know, we're going to pull back the reins, and we're not bowing down to these inanimate objects. We are going to worship an invisible God that is untouchable and invisible and ungraspable. And that is revolutionary. And I would also argue that centuries later, when the prophets were saying to their societies, you're not taking care of the poor, you're not feeding the hungry, you're not clothing the naked, they were calling truth to power. I think that's also revolutionary and rebellious. So that sounds very modern to me, and so the Gonzo attitude, as opposed to the bourgeois attitude that, you know, makes me want to vomit like you, and that a lot of us were brought up with, the Gonzo attitude is the diametrical opposite. You know, that attitude is saying, let's reclaim our rebel roots. I would argue that Judaism at its core is about rebellion and about being countercultural. Not about being bourgeois and accepting the status quo.
Certainly being countercultural in the sense that if you choose to worship an unseen singular entity and then also choose to be self-sacrificing in the sense of honoring charity, honoring good deeds, and honoring what the will of God is as defined in the Bible, the good parts of that.
Right.
I can understand how that would be certainly revolutionary in the age of insane narcissism and selfishness that we live in today.
Absolutely, which is itself, I would argue, a form of idolatry no less blatant and horrible as the idolatry of worshiping rocks and trees.
But in terms of somebody who is painfully agnostic, verging on atheistic, in constant struggle with myself, and if I'm ever trying to engage with some sort of higher power or God, it's just by virtue that I've exhausted all possibilities in my own brain to make myself feel better. What does it mean when you say you are alongside Christians in this process? Are we to how do we as Jews in terms of if we subtract ourselves from some of the Zionism that we were brought up with and from some of the middle class trappings, how are we supposed to function in the world with other religions? And do you welcome Christians and Muslims into your synagogue? Do you encourage that Jews go to other areas of religious practice just to see what people are up to?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, just yesterday, I made an arrangement to share the pulpit in probably February with a friend of mine who's a minister. So I encourage my congregants, my friends, to go to other religious houses of worship to study about them. In my previous books, I write extensively about Judaism and Christianity, and I compare and contrast them. You know, I came back from the UK a few months ago, where I spoke on a panel with an Anglican priest and a Muslim imam. And I think that if you remove certain components, there's so much that we share. And, you know, I may be a liberal, but, you know, I'm not this kind of let's just love each other kind of a rabbi. You know, I think interfaith dialogue is important, but it's not important if it just becomes a love fest. You have to acknowledge that there are real differences, but there are more commonalities, I think, than differences. You know, if you can get beyond the dogma of you know, organized religion.
Okay. I get you. The bottom line is that everybody believes that their God is the God, and when they pay lip service to other religions, those are real exercises in tolerance.
Exactly. It's like a Christian saying to me, oh, you know, feel free to put the menorah up, you know, in Tallahassee, you know, Florida, right next to the Christmas tree, you know, you nice little Jew. I mean, it's very patronizing, you know. I think when Jews hear that from Christians, or when Christians hear that from Jews, that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, or that we like you Christians even though you're not part of the chosen people. You know, it's patronizing stupidity. I think real pluralism and not fake, vapid pluralism is about something much more deep than that, and that is about true compassion and true community, and we certainly are not there.
Well, okay, and I think that's a good point. I've always thought that when somebody says, you know, I accept your beliefs, and I think you have a right to believe in them. If they have strong beliefs of themselves, the subtext of that statement is, but you're wrong and you're going to hell.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. Certainly in the more literalist and fundamentalist streams of any faith, I do think that's a subtext.
Okay, now here's a very important question.
Yeah.
Did you see Apocalypto?
You know what? I was going to see it yesterday, and serving a congregation is very demanding. I wound up having a meeting and couldn't go. I did see The Passion of the Christ. I happen to like Mel Gibson, even though I think he's an alcoholic, screwed-up, anti-Semitic son of a bitch. I love his movies, so
yeah.
I do want to see it, actually.
That's interesting that we're willing to forgive Mel Gibson because he makes the movies interesting.
Willing to forgive him. You know, I did a lot of media when The Passion of the Christ came out, and the media, unfortunately, was going to the usual suspects, just as they're doing now with Jimmy Carter's new book, and you know, Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League is, you know, taking out ads and spending millions of dollars all over the country denouncing Carter as an anti-Semite. My argument in the book and in general has been that is not our real enemy. The real enemy of the Jewish people is not Mel Gibson, it's not Jimmy Carter, it's not anti-Semitism. Our real enemy is ourselves, because we have not constructed a Judaism that is robust and dynamic and attractive enough for people like you and others who would want to come. That is the real enemy.
Well, thank you, Niles. I think that's a good way to close this. I appreciate talking to you. I hope you're doing well.
Well, thank you very much, Mark.
You have a good holiday. Rabbi Niles Goldstein, author of Gonzo Judaism. And as I have always said, that the Christians should not be mad at Jews for killing Jesus. They should be thankful, because if he doesn't die, you don't have much of a story. It's 47 past. I'll be back in a second. Marin in for Cedar.
Sam Cedar is not here today, so you're stuck with Mark Marin on Air America Radio.